Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8.
What a great way to start. Bloody hell.
I know, of ClickerCast, The Last of Us podcast. We've always said this is, we try to make this a happy podcast, even if the episodes of The Last of Us are just full of grimness, bleakness, darkness, and scenes like that. My name is Matt Hudson from What I Watch Tonight, and joining me, as you've just heard, as ever, is the Best Bin Bulletin from Bob the Podcast. He's looking ropey, he's looking gangrenous, he's looking ill, but he still recognises when somebody else is in the wrong. How you doing, mate?
I just can't believe that's the clip you picked. Like, we don't talk about this before you do it, you just play it and... Yeah. What a way to start.
Like I mentioned the other week, mate, a peek behind the curtain. I'm so into these episodes, we rewatch them thanks to the guys at Sky and HBO, I forget to get some sort of clip. So I'm literally scrambling about before the episode starts. Everything else about this, the ClickerCast, is nice and professional. It's all organised in advance. We know what we're doing. Apart from that bit, and I thought, what is indicative of this episode? What is the kind of key thing to take away from this episode? And I was like, oh, yeah, David being, well, let's face it, David being the ultimate internet troll and saying the things you'd probably hear online. I was like, that's what I need to include. But to be fair, this episode does have a very nasty, very dark overtone hanging over it, and at times it doesn't just hang over it, it really weaves itself into the fabric. This is a nasty episode in terms of the themes. It's episode 8, When We Are In Need. This is a spoiler episode, as you should know by now if you've been listening for the last 8 weeks. If you're new, this is a spoiler episode, and that clip is what we're going to talk about in a minute. But When We Are In Need, it's directed by Ali Abbasi. It's 50 minutes long. If you haven't watched the episode, go check it out, then come back and listen to this episode. So episode 8, mate, last week you were saying that you were interested to see the tone change from what was a kind of fairly kind of light episode in terms of like the flirty nature and the fun episode of seeing two teens hanging out and having fun before tragedy hit, to now the David episode, as you called it. How did the David episode stack up for you, mate?
I think this is a good episode. I think it is the darkest episode we've had. As you put it, it goes back to the things Joel said back in, I think it was the fourth episode, when they're in the woods and they're, you know, going to sleep, and he's talking about people out there worse than clickers.
Well, I mentioned in the first episode, the guy who's manning the radio says, doesn't he, that it's worse out there than infected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Like, again, things in The Last of Us Part 2, there's things that's very bad in that as well, but what David is up to, like, he's a cult leader, he's eating people, he's, you know...
Living the dream.
he's attempting to rape a child towards the end as well.
Oh, yeah, yes, so, he's doing this. That ain't living the dream.
No, so... Yeah, pretty dark episode, all things considered. I do think it's a good episode, though. I don't think it's as strong as last week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or the week before. And I think that's maybe becoming a bit of a theme for me, is the ones that are a bit more action-heavy. I don't enjoy as much as the ones that's just a lot of talking and a lot of focus on characters. So, yeah, but no, regardless of that, it's still a good episode. Still way better than episodes 4 and 5 for me. And David is a much more compelling villain than Kathleen. You know, we were alluded to it during those episodes that she's not the only villain we'll see. And this is who we were talking about. And I know David is from the game, but he feels far better. He feels directed better. He feels written better. He feels acted better. Like, he is sinister. Like the way he's first introduced, he seems like a pretty nice guy. Like that conversation he has with Ellie when, you know, she finds them with the deer. You can kind of see how people fall into this guy's trap and, you know, follow him and believe him. And over the course of the episode, we see just how evil and manipulative and sinister he is. And I think, again, congratulations to everybody involved with the David character, because, yeah, I think that was a really good performance from him. I do have a problem with the performance in this episode, but we'll get to that later.
Oi.
What did you think?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned about the action-heavy episodes not appealing as much, or you don't find them quite as strong as the more character driven episodes. And I'm inclined to agree. I've mentioned before, I love me a character study when you just get two great actors put in a situation with great dialogue and just let them go with it. This is what this show has done in spades throughout. That doesn't mean that the action heavy sequences aren't great, and not that they're directed really well. And even in this one, they're sparse. You know, they are like in the game, and they don't really linger on the deaths too much. You might get a stealth kill when you've got to watch someone's neck being ripped open, but you know, it's unceremonious, and it's the same here throughout. Like Joel kills somebody in the basement. It's drawn out, but it's unceremonious. There's no kicking, thrashing. There's no big epic music playing. It's just, here's Joel stabbing someone in the neck. Enjoy it. Watch the blood drip from the guy's mouth. This is reality, or what it would be like. But no, I agree with you. Last week was a really, really good episode. It felt different. It added so much to the story. This one did as well, of course, but just two great young actresses last week bouncing off each other. It's always going to be hard to top. And episodes don't need to top each other. We say that every week. We don't have to have better than each one. We both know that. But this was still a very solid episode to lead into the final episode. My biggest issue with the episode, Double B, Bespin Bulletin, is that I think it could have been longer. I think they could have had another episode for this and maybe and drawn out this dread a bit more. Maybe Joel's recovery a little bit more. That did feel a little bit penicillin. 100%. It will sort you out after two jabs. I wish it worked that quickly for me. I'm allergic to it.
Well, I can't take penicillin.
There we go. See, last time I did it, it didn't work out well. But so I'd have liked to see that. And you know, so having said that, I think that's a complaint or a caveat. I'm also going to mention to the forthcoming episode as well, which is interesting. So maybe this series didn't just need one more episode. I think they managed to get enough in. I think they managed to chew away some of the game story and condense it down to one episode nicely. You know, everything we need to know about what happened in this settlement, in this cult, is there. You know, these people are blind followers to this guy with a god complex. This guy, David, played excellently by Scott Shepherd, has a god complex, and he's a nonce, and he is a child abuser. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He beats children. He's a cannibal, and he's a coward. But these people in these times, they follow him because he recites the word of the Lord. He uses their faith against them. He's everything that's wrong with humanity is in this one person. And his followers are just a bunch of neckbeards who would rather just kill him.
What's scary about David is he's a relatable villain.
He's a relatable villain because they try to make him... In the episode, is kind of... It tries to force you to see his point of view when he's saying, look, I don't want these people to starve. If I don't feed these guys by hook or by crook, they will die. Or when he goes to get Ellie. He doesn't want to do what he's got to do, but he has to. When he goes to capture Ellie, he's saying, we get her alive. We bring her back to the settlement. And the guy's like, why? We just kill her. And he's like, no. You know, she will die out here if we don't take her back. So the episode is trying to show there's humanity there, that the guy, he's not just a monster. There's some humanity there, but there really isn't.
Yeah, but it's also like, I find it relatable into like real world villains that we have. Like so often we hear about like, you know, somebody who is spouting the word of God, but doing malicious things behind the scenes. And, you know, whether that be he has a cult or whether it is just what he attempts with Ellie later on. You know, I think that's what makes David a powerful villain, is because this can exist in our real world. He could be around the corner. Again, it's unfortunate that people like this exist in our real life.
And dude, not to interject, but a few times during the episode, when I mentioned the internet thing up top, at a few points during this, the guy shouting, I'm a nice guy, why don't you see that? And that's going to hit hard for a lot of people. This absolute maniac, this monster, shouting, you know, give me a chance. I'm not like the other guys, essentially. You're like, man.
Yeah, he's despicable as a villain. Again, I think he's really well acted. I think he's well directed, well written. Again, compared to Kathleen, I think it's chalk and cheese.
I agree.
Again, yeah. no disrespect to the actress. She is very talented. Like I kept saying on the episode, I love her in Yellow Jackets. I think she's the star of that series. But here it didn't work. And again, it's probably not down to her. It's probably down to direction and writing. But here, David shines, and David, he is evil. That's what he is. He is despicable. He is evil. He is a monster. He is worse than the infected. He's worse than the clickers. He is worse than the bloater. Like, this man, yeah, like, you were just waiting and hoping all episode he'll get his comeuppance.
It's played so deliciously as well. Everything he does is horrible, but Scott Shepherd, he gets, no pun intended, but he sinks his teeth into this.
Yeah, and again, like, the cannibal stuff, like, it's hinted out throughout the entire, like, obviously me and you know, so we kind of see the warning signs with him, and I'm interested to see if the people who are unfamiliar with the game, unfamiliar with David's character, picked up on those cues throughout the episode. Like, there's you know, when one of the cult members gives the meat to the cook, they ask what it is, and like, he pauses and then says venison, right?
Venison.
Yeah, and then whenever he's eating it, all wolfing it down really quickly, which is a weird shot to have anyway. But then it pans to James, played by Troy Baker,
yes,
aka Joel from the games, and he's eating it ever so slowly. He knows exactly what he's eating.
And David, you know, sits there and he watches the wife and daughter of the bloke who is mentioned to have been murdered in the earlier episode. In my head, he is watching them eating their husband and father, yeah. And that is just evil.
Yeah, because it goes back to the line right at the beginning of the episode where the daughter asks, can they bury him? And he says, the ground's too solid to dig. We'll have to wait till the spring.
It's not funny, but
yeah, great. Yeah, like, you know, okay, like, this guy's going to get munched on in a few hours. Like,
I thought, because I'd kind of forgotten a bit about this scene when I went back to watch it, and I thought, oh, yeah, they're going to, when they get outside, they're like, yeah, burn the bloke, you know, burn him, we don't need the time around it. I forgot, oh yeah, they eat him.
Yeah, they do. it's grim, man. Like, again,
hungry dog's got to eat.
Yeah, like, in the words of Tyrese from Too Fast and Furious, we hungry.
Yeah.
So, it's again, like, just picking up on those cues, I wonder if anybody else did, like, especially new viewers, because they were laying the crumbs there. But yeah, no, David is despicable. Troy Baker, I think, did a good job as James. It's really, really good to see him be given a role in this series, yes. Considering, obviously, like, he is Joel. He is Joel in the video games, and breathed life into that character before Pedro Pascal got the chance to.
Yeah, and they've really used Troy Baker to advertise this show. Of course, he hosts the HBO Last of Us podcast, which is good, but it's not quite a clicker cast. Obviously, he hosts that. He's been wheeled out a lot by HBO and Sony and whomever, Sky Atlantic, sorry, to promote the show via kind of small vignettes on Twitter, on social media, on YouTube, which is not a problem. You could just tell how much he loves this. It's a shame they haven't given Ashley as much chance to talk about the role, or be it, or Ellie, or the show, but Troy clearly digs being an ambassador for this franchise.
Yeah. I think we will see Ashley next week talking about stuff a bit more, because obviously, as we know, she's in the trailers, she is in this show, they've announced she's in the show.
Yep.
So I think we'll see her towards the end doing a bit more promotion, probably appearing on podcasts and discussing the role she was given in this show. Which is a very exciting role. And yeah, I can't wait to see people's reaction to her next week. I'm very happy with Troy's performance. I think, because there's a lot of rumors before that he was going to be David, when he was cast in the show. I'm glad he wasn't. Because though Troy is a lovely guy, I think the actor who plays David, again, he's just like a middle-aged man. He's soft-spoken. He's a calming presence at times, and I think he's the right guy for that job. I think they picked the perfect guy for David, and Troy being James is probably a better suited role for him.
It's a little more or less on the nose as well, and I don't mean that as to say Troy couldn't do it, but because I think he could. But having him play a supporting character, you're not thrusting him front and center in such a despicable role where it's almost like a guest appearance by Troy Baker as the bad guy. Instead, he plays a more understated villain who's more inclined just to get the job done quicker, and he just wants to kill people. I think Scott Shepherd's great. I think Troy Baker's very good with what he does, and he looks great with that beard.
My issue in terms of performance, which is very weird, considering my praise for her last week, is Bella Ramsey.
You disgust me, Bespin.
I know. So
go on.
It's not throughout the episode, because I think towards, halfway onwards, she is fantastic. Mm-hmm. When she's given more to work with, more dramatic scenes, especially when she's in the cage, when she's having those conversations with David, when she's trying to escape, all of that stuff.
Ooh.
It's the initial meeting of David, James, and Ellie.
I know where you're going,
Where they come across the deer that she shot, and it's the interaction. I think James doesn't really say anything, but David speaks a lot, and I think he comes across well. Bella, it feels like acting, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel natural in the performance, and which is weird considering how great she's been up until this point. I wondered if it was just because she wasn't sharing the scene with somebody she has more chemistry with, whether that be Pedro, whether that be Storm. You know, I don't know. But something felt very off in her initial conversations with David.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, once she's in the cage and once all that stuff is happening, she feels a lot better. She feels like the talent we've been bigging up week on week in. Like, week on week in? That's not the right term. Week in, week out.
We make terms up again.
Do you know what I mean? Did you feel something slightly off about that scene?
No, I did. When you consider what she's like in the cage, and it felt and sounded like Ellie, and later on in the episode when she just goes full bloodthirsty, I was like, yeah, this is it. This is what I remember. There is something off about those scenes. Now, when I was watching it the second time, I tried to reconcile with my head that this is a kid who's trying to be tough, who is up against two guys, is trying to be tough, knows the situation that she shot a deer, but like David says, you're not dragging that back. What are you going to do about that? I took it as like a scared kid in the woods who is put in a situation where she has to act tough. So she actually has to kind of act it. But if that wasn't the case, then it is a little bit ropey. Let's call it what it is. It didn't, it didn't feel intimidating. And it didn't feel like someone who could go on to be this natural leader or this absolute stone-cold killer.
For me, the performance felt really bland, in that moment. And even when she goes and sits in the cabin with David as they're waiting for James to return, I don't think she does well there. And she's not trying to be intimidating in that scene.
The cabin sequence is more where I'd look at it and think, yeah, that wasn't your strongest part of the season. Outside, I can kind of, without making excuses, because we'll call it what it is, but outside I can kind of put it down to this is a kid trying to act tough with a gun, and even David's like, he recites the line back to her, he's like, yeah, you're going to put one between my eyes. You've already said that. James is standing there, he hasn't even got his hands up in the air. So these two don't take her seriously, and I think she's trying to sound tough, but part way through, James puts his hands down, David even starts almost mocking her by responding. I took it as that, like she's trying to sound tough and it ain't working. In the cabin, though, that isn't as, there isn't anything like that to fall back on. It's not the best, especially when Scott Shepherd is so composed and he's so good in that scene. It stands out a bit more. But, everybody has an off day, and I know this is what it is. And then later on in the episode, she's great. She's given more dramatic stuff, when she's given more like terrifying stuff, when she has to shriek and wail and scream, I believe her in those moments.
She's powerful in those moments.
She is. And the iconic scene at the end, which from the game is kind of that big turning point where we find out now for real that David, he is a molester. He's a child abuser. He's a paedophile. He's a disgusting person. And he said, like we heard, he put pins her down. He says, "Oh, don't you know, the fighting is what I like the most." And as you said, at this moment, everybody in the world is thinking, either Joel bust in and blow his brains out or really stab him. She does. She reaches that knife. She stabs him, but not once. She then, in a shift of power, which we see earlier on the episode, she then gets and mounts him, for want of a better term, and just absolutely stabs the hell out of him 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times. Blood spewing everywhere, all over her face. She loses control in that moment. Hey, look, I don't blame you, Ellie. Keep going. But it's that iconic shot from the game where she loses herself. She's covered in blood. And it's to change now for the character. And then when she gets outside, even Joel looks at her and thinks, he can see, like, there's something gone behind her eyes in that moment. But it's the situation she's been presented in, self, in that survival and that preservation against a genuine monster. I think that was really well handled. And it was, whilst it was an iconic moment from the game, I think, it's, even in the series here, it's still unceremonious and blunt. You know, you don't really get a hero shot of her afterwards, of her face kind of smiling or looking heroic. She looks terrified, she looks scared, she looks almost disgusted at what she's done and what she's been through. It feels more genuine, there's trauma there going on. It's just
she's cradled away by Joel at the end.
And he calls her baby girl, and like, there we go, bang. Joel realises now, I mentioned the shift of power before, it's when Joel has an infected wound, and she tells him, "I'm going to be right back," and she takes his gun. He can't do anything about it, even if he wants to. Even inside, he's internally screaming. You know, it's a power dart, but it's a soft one. It's not a... She's not taking charge. It's a soft power. He can't do anything, so she now is in charge and controls these situations. Later on in the episode, with David, in a much more horrifying way, there is a literal power shift, even in terms of how they are positioned, their bodies are positioned with each other. Which I thought was a pretty cool little parallel. Whether it is deliberate or not, I don't know, but I noticed it, and I was like, "Yep, yeah, I like that." But yeah, he calls a baby girl at the end, Bespin. We've said many times in the last few weeks, the bond is there now. The bond is strengthened. But you know, for Joel to say those two words or one word, whatever, kind of cements it, doesn't it, completely?
Yeah. Before we get to a nice line from Joel and baby girl, I just wanted to bring up two lines from David, which were disgusting. As he's pinning her
just
down
two.
And going to do what he's going to do, he says, "There's no fear in love," and that was disgusting. That was, gut wrenching. And as she's hiding, he says, "You know what, Ellie? I want to be your father. I want to teach you some things." And I'm like, "Oh my!
I want to keep you," Disney say, or something like that.
Yeah, like he wants a teacher, and I'm like, this is disgusting. What? This man was a teacher as well, like
a teacher around kids.
Yeah, so, and he said they were around Ellie's age. So he was teaching 14-year-olds, and it's like,
and when he strokes her hand in the cell, you can just he looks like his. I mean, it's so well acted. His eyes, he just looks like a man who's like. I don't want to go too far into what he's feeling because it's disgusting, but you can tell that something is, you know, he's excited by this, and it's just disgusting.
And it brings up questions about, like, the other members of the cult. Like, there's other girls there, like, who are young. There's other children. You know, and it's just disgusting. But then moving on to a positive line in Joel saying baby girl. Yeah, that was a nice moment following the horrendous acts we had before it. And again, I think Joel throughout this, though, it harkens back to a line from Bill where he's, you know, he says in his letter that him and Joel are protectors and God help anybody that stands in their way. That is shown here with Joel. He knows Ellie's in danger and he's there shoving knives and kneecaps and just killing dudes left, right, and center. He is determined to find, as he put it, his baby girl. Like, yeah, this man, he's the protector, as Bill put it. As you said, that bond has grown over the past few episodes, and we saw a lot, especially in episode 6. And it's here again at the forefront. You know, Ellie's been looking after him, and he comes at the end to, like, try and save the day, try and save her, and he's there for her, like, following this traumatic event. You know, which makes their journey even more powerful, considering where they're going to end up next week, and, you know, what the goal is of the show of Ellie and Joel. Yeah, I do have an issue with the recovery of Joel in this.
It's pretty quick, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. It's not just the fact that he's, like, the two shots of, like, penicillin. I could even get past that a little bit. It's more, like, within the course of, like, 10 minutes, he goes from, like, she's down there, he can't speak, he can't move, and he's up, she puts a knife in his hand. She's like, Joel, their dudes come in. Like, you know, whatever you do, like, kill them if they come down here. Like, you know, I'm going to lead them away. And he can't move. This guy, like, throughout the episode, he can barely open his eyes, he can barely stay awake. Ellie says that to him, like, Joel, do not fall asleep. Like, because he can't stay, like, conscious. He, you know, he can't move. That's why Ellie's looking after him. But as soon as the guy comes downstairs, he, like, jumps out of nowhere and, like, stabs him in the neck, and then he goes around on a killing spree, like, and then manages to walk all the way to wherever Ellie is, and I'm like, how did this happen?
don't know what they put in that penicillin, but I want some.
Yeah, like, this is a bit much, like, considering, like, just before he went on these attacks, he could not move. Like, he couldn't move, he could barely keep his eyes open. But yet he's managing to kill all these guys, and he's managing to, like, drag himself from the house they were hidden in to the resort where Ellie and David are battling it out. Lake. Yeah, it's just, that's a bit too quick for me. I think you probably should have had an episode, two episodes maybe, dealing with the David stuff, just to draw out that, like, recovery process for Joel. And especially considering next week is the finale as well. Like, it feels, we'll talk about that next week, the gap between the end of this episode and the start of the next episode. But, yeah, I think this should have been a two-parter with it. Like, there was, like, Kathleen was a two-parter. I think David maybe should have been as well.
Yeah. Or at worst, one and a half.
Yeah, there needed to be something more there. Like we said, the recovery is ridiculously quick, and as we lingered on the one infected in the Left Behind episode, who's like, well, that kind of takes us out of the moment.
Yeah,
that's what it did with Joel for me. Was like,
it's noticeable, isn't it?
Yeah, like, he was literally on the floor, couldn't move, could barely keep his eyes open when David's men were wandering around the town trying to find him. He couldn't move. He couldn't speak. But by the end, he's mobile. He's killing dudes. He's rescuing Ellie. I think that recovery is a bit too quick.
If you want to be really pedantic, you could also say the bar restaurant is on fire and no one really comes to help him. Nobody comes to see what's going on here.
That's the thing. Yeah, like, so there's gunshots are going off in the room with the cages. Like, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that where the gunshots goes off?
Yes, it was, yeah. Because Ellie stabs James in the neck with that cleaver, and Dave, thank God Dave's got a bad aim, because he shoots and misses two or three times, yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, so three gunshots go off, and no other member of David's cult decides to, like, have a nose. Like, where does the other goons? Like, you know, maybe you don't expect as much from, like, the children or the wives, perhaps. But he's got, like, mercenaries with him. Like, he's got guys who go out and hunt and kill people.
That's it. The four he went with at the beginning are dead. We know that, because Joel stabbed one in the neck. There was one found dead in the snow, and he tortured those two other guys in a boss scene. But it's got to be someone else, you think, or just someone who's inquisitive. Like, oh, maybe someone's in trouble. Maybe someone needs help.
Yeah, and again, like, there's nothing happened as the cabin's on fire. Nobody's bothered. Like, you don't see any other people. That's very weird.
Just leave it to someone else to sort. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of odd. I don't think it stands out as much as
it's not a deal breaker.
There's a couple of odd moments in there for me. I don't know. I think this episode is still very, very good. I just don't think it's as good as last week's or the week before. But it's still a good episode. And, like, obviously, as you mentioned, like, David he is the standout of this episode, you know, because of how good the performance is and how well the character is written. Obviously, like, as a character, he's disgusting, but yeah, he's the standout for me. And obviously, like, Bella Ramsey, for the latter half of the episode, she's fantastic. Her performance is really powerful and gripping, and you feel her pain, you feel her trauma. Like, and I think that's something she does really well. It goes back to the episode where Henry takes his own life in front of her.
Yes.
You know, we said at the time it was far more powerful not seeing him pull the trigger and, you know, seeing him go down. It made much more of an impact seeing it from Ellie's point of view, and the pain and the fear and the trauma on her face as it happens. I think, again, Bella Ramsey does such a good job dealing with these sort of scenes. It's testament to how good she is as an actress, which is why I think some of the stuff earlier on the episode is a bit out of place, because we know just how good she is, how good she's been throughout all this season. She's been phenomenal. I think I've said to you, I think she's the star of this. She is doing, you know, she's even doing better than, like, veterans like Pedro, you know, who's obviously doing a great job as well. But yeah, like, she's the star, she's the standout of this season. And so that's why I fell out of character. But yeah, it's nice to see as well, like, you know, the connections to last week where Joel is stabbed, and that is David's man, you know. I think he is being honest when he says that, right? When he says, like, we sent four men out, only three came back. Yeah. And that is the case what happens last week, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that is honest. Because at first I did question, I was like, is he just lying to them? Or is it real? And I thought back to last week, it's like, no, there were four men at that university. Yep. He is telling the truth. They are, like, actively hunting these people. Yeah. Considering they took the life of one of their members. I like that everything in the show is always connected. Nothing is ever random. Everything's always done for a reason. I think it's a good episode altogether. What about you?
Yeah, no, in terms of the connectivity, I did have to think at the end, I was like, did we see that part where one of the guys was killed, or was that done off screen? And then I remembered, obviously, the whole the crux of it is that Joel's dying because he's been shanked, and that was from the university. So a nice little bit of connectivity there. And yeah, I think the episode, again, I've got no real issues with it, apart from smaller kind of narrative decisions, like to have Joel just be able to do, like, torture men who are clearly not in a better position than he is health-wise, kind of stealth around a bit like Batman and be cured, be fully healed almost, or at least 80% healed in the space that he was. I think that felt a little bit rushed. That felt like they realised that they've got so much to fill in that they haven't got time to waste on another episode or going into the next episode just because Joel is out of action for the minute. So I do think that felt a little bit rushed. Like the town people not coming to help, whatever. It's just something I noticed towards the end. But it's to your point about Bella as well. She has been so good that when there is something which isn't quite as strong, you do notice it. But I think the episode is really strong. I do. I don't think it's as strong as last week, but I love how they opened up with I think it's Revelations 21 David is reciting. And I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but when you hear that, the use of religion and faith in a story like this, it adds I can't explain what it is. It just, something about it just feels, it adds a menace, a sinister presence. I'm not at any point or any moment saying religion or God or anything like that is sinister, but some of my favourite stories involve religion, faith, and how they're used against people or whatever, and there's something about the way David is reciting it and the way it's used and the way these people are just sitting watching him recite these biblical verses it doesn't feel right. And as we mentioned up top, David is clearly using this their faith or their adopted faith against them. He's using this to draw them in. You know, God will save you. Look what's happened around you. The Lord is there for you. I'm there for you. You know, look to me in times of darkness. It's very sinister. So I thought it was a really, really ominous way to open the episode. And yeah, David is despicable. I do wish it had been a little bit longer. I do think you could have given this even an episode and three quarters. Have Ellie have her mental moment towards the end when she just skewers and kebabs David, and say the next episode, and then have a five, ten more minutes with just Joel, just Ellie processing. This is where we need to go. Let's make our way to where we need to go, or whatever it needs to be. Because then it just adds a little bit more to the finale as well, which we know is one episode. I'm just trying to think of ways where they can maximise without overstretching themselves.
For me, I think we should have started off a bit quieter. I think maybe we have an episode that's maybe 45 minutes. We have had episodes at that length in this season. And it's, you see the parallels of Ellie, and she's hunting, she's trying to look after Joel. And then you could show David and the cult before the episode could end as they meet or something. But yeah, because even in the game, we spend a lot more time in this section, in this winter section in the game. I think it could have explored how Ellie's trying to deal with being the carer, the protector, the provider at this point. And you could have paralleled that with the story of David, who was in the same position, but obviously, like, he's trying to look after, as he calls him, his flock.
He's an awful person. He has two good lines in this as well, and I don't mean good as in wow, what a they really resonated with me, but in terms of lines of dialogue, because you mentioned a few earlier on which were good in their, in how they were just dripping with just nastiness. I liked when he was having that conversation with Ellie and she's in the cell, and he was saying, you know, you remind me of me, you know, you're a leader, which we mentioned the other week. They're setting that up again. Mm-hmm. She's a leader, she's loyal, she's violent. But, you know, she was talking about his faith, and he's like, no. The cordyceps taught me the way. It wasn't God. You know, these cordyceps, mm-hmm. as a whole, they love. The other guys, they need God, they need heaven, they need a father. And then he goes into his predatory ways of saying it. She's an equal, she needs a friend. But the way he kind of looks at cordyceps now as the new world order, they are the God rather than this omnipresent force in the Bible. It's the cordyceps have shown him the way, which kind of plays into his role earlier on, his line earlier on in the episode when he says, oh, I only found God after the outbreak, after Armageddon. That's when I found religion, that's when I found all of this. And I find it even creepier that now that, you know, he's preaching the word of God to these cultists and his members, when in fact he's almost subservient to the infection itself, the cordyceps, what brought about the end of the world. It's almost like Satan in a way. I thought that was quite cool. But then later on in the episode, when they're having the cat and mouse section in the restaurant, which in the game was like bum clenchingly terrifying, and that was drawn out here again. If I'm going to be critical, over a bit too quickly, but it was unceremonious. In the game, you can make it longer because it's a game, and you can stretch it out with stealth and gameplay mechanics. Mm-hmm. In reality, would that cat and mouse game where David is stalking Ellie really last 10-15 minutes? No, it wouldn't. Ellie saw an opportunity. She went to rush him, which happens in the game, but then you hide again. She rushed him, and then he eats her on the floor. But before that, he says, look, I know you're not infected, because obviously she's bitten him. I know you're not infected, because no one infected fights this hard to stay alive. I was like, do you know what? This guy, he's a complete douchebag. He's the worst of the worst, but he ain't stupid. He is not stupid.
Right.
He saw the bite on her arm and was dubious then, but the fact that he reconciled is like, well, hold on. Why is she fighting to stay alive when she's going to turn into one of these mindless zombies, the undead, essentially? I thought that was very, very telling that he knew that and he didn't bother him one bit. And that's when he was like, yeah, I can be your father. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to teach you. It added that layer of menace. He didn't need to be the one doing the killing. His goons were doing that. He was the one sending them out. And he was the one he was the brains behind it all. He was the menace. Nothing seemed to fluster him apart from that moment when he got his finger broken. Other than that, even when he's stalking Ellie at this moment and he's been bitten by someone who's clearly been bitten by an infected, he's not flustered because he's worked it out. He's one step ahead. And that, like you say about a grounded villain, That's just as scary to me, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like David wouldn't be in the position he's in if he's not a smart man. Like, he's got all these people to believe in him and follow him and see him as, you know, somebody God speaks through. He's got to be a smart guy to pull this off to a degree.
Yeah.
And he is. But I think there's doubts within that group. You know, they do question him. Like, James and the rest of the men, they want to kill Ellie. You know, early on in the episode, David says to James, "I sense doubt in you." They seem to question him.
Yep.
I think he is starting to lose his handle on this group at this point. As he mentions, it's been a hard 6 months, and he talks about the winter being especially hard for them. I think that's them starting to lose faith in him,
yeah,
as well. And he's in a moment of desperation. He's getting vengeance. He's getting justice for one of their fallen members by hunting Joel and capturing Ellie. He's providing, like, when he brings the food in, he looks proud of himself. When he brings in the deer,
yeah.
I think he's having a harder time at this point, and he needs this all to go well to renew their faith in him. I think if David survived the clash with Ellie, I don't think it would be much longer until maybe the cult look for a new leader already, yeah, in that group, perhaps somebody like James or whatnot. But I think he knew his power couldn't last.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on with the David character. I think he is the highlight of this episode, without a question of a doubt. I don't think there's much more for me to say on him at this point. I think we've given him all his flowers at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, and again, I'm very excited now for next week to get to the finale. Like, obviously, you and I, you know, and people listening, they've played the game. We know what's coming. We know how exciting that's going to be. I can't wait to see that again on screen. Hopefully it's a great end to what's been a phenomenal series this far.
Yeah.
I'm very positive going into next week. I'm very happy with the season as a whole this far. We're one episode away now, it's flown by.
That's what's mental, mate. We're at the finale. We are now almost there after all the ups and, well, it's not really been any downs in this series. Let's be honest. There's been a few, I wouldn't even call them bumps along the road, but there's been a few dips here and there comparatively, but we're almost there now, mate. We're almost there. As we found out, we're getting that season two. So we've got something to look forward to. And those who are aware of what is potentially going to go down in the final episode, of course, those who have played the game knows what happens. But this is an adaptation. Could it change? It might do. We'll find out next week. But it's been a journey, mate, and I'm so excited to sit down and talk about the finale next week with a hint of kind of regret, because it's been filth going back to rewatch all these episodes, sitting down to have a chat about them. And it's been, for me, if somebody doesn't really watch many streaming series because I'm a goon who just doesn't find the time, for me, it's been so wonderful to watch a show, whether I like the source material or not, that hasn't had a downer to it. Even some series I love have got an episode or two where you could call it a filler episode or whatever you want. I haven't got that here, mate. Not one bit. It's just been 8 episodes of strength. Differing levels, but it's been strength. So I can't wait for the season finale next week, mate. And it has to look, mate. And that, the problem is, all the pressure's on that. The pressure is always on the season finale. Mm-hmm. Always is, because people want it to go out of the bang, or people expect it to be the strongest episode, or whatever. But every episode so far has been at least very good, or at least good. At least good. So you don't want to go out on a damp squib. You want to go out with a bang of sorts, so all the pressure is on next week's episode, which is also directed by Ali Abbasi. So the dude who directed this episode is also handling next week's finale. So we can probably expect a similar episode in terms of tone. But no, I think this was a good episode. I think the villain problem was overcome with David. It's a shame he only got one episode, because I think he was just so deliciously sinister, despite the fact that I disagreed with every single thing he said and did. And it gave Bella Ramsey a chance to be front and centre a bit more as well, to varying degrees of success. But overall, mate, I think this is another very solid episode, and it sets us up nicely, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Again, we've had, you know, two episodes that focus a lot on Ellie and Bella's Ramsey's performance has been great throughout. And as you said, like, David as well, he's a fantastic villain. And they say, like, it's, you know, some of the best villains, the most powerful villains are the ones who believe they're the good guy. And he believes that. He believes he is, like, as he puts it, he thinks he can be a father figure to the children within the cult, which is disgusting. And he's their savior. He's their protector. He's the shepherd to their flock. And again, you know, he's, as you put it, he's a deliciously vile thing. He is menacing. And
in real life, we wouldn't be saying anything of the sort. But because it's not real, we can say that.
Yeah. And again, as we've said earlier on in the episode as well, it's because he is. Some of, you know, of what he is related to real life. He is a villain who we could encounter, who we hear so much about in real life. So again, that makes the character relatable. That probably adds to him being as despicable as he is. And yeah, like, we're on the final run up now to the end. In Druckmann, Mazin, we trust.
Absolutely.
They've done a fantastic job this far. There's no reason to doubt that they won't deliver the quality that they've been given throughout the season next week to wrap things up. I'm very excited for it. I'm very excited to see how Ellie and Joel's end appears in live action. You obviously know we've played the game. I played the game multiple times. And yeah, I'm very excited for next week, mate. It's actually flown by, so yeah. Very excited. I think that's it for this week then, mate, isn't it?
It is. I've got nothing more to add on what was a very decent episode. This episode, just as long as the actual episode itself was. But yeah, I've got nothing more to add. I think we're both up on episode with a few asterisks and caveats here and there. But it's all about next week now, mate. It's sometimes a penultimate episode has an anchor around its neck because everyone's always looking ahead to the final. We're going to be there next week, mate. We'll be talking about it in full spoiler mode. We can't wait to dive into it again. We can't wait for you lot to come and check it out with us and to get to hear your thoughts. But yeah, that's it. Episode 8 of The Last of Us is done. Episode 8 of ClickerCast, The Last of Us podcast, is done. When We Are in Need was the episode, and we're in need for one more episode next week. We're going to get it. We'd love to hear what you think about these episodes, though, whether you like them, hate them, whether you agree with us, disagree with us, or if we have missed something that you wanted to point out. Let us know online. Bespin, where can the world find you online?
You can find me on social media, Bespin Bolton, and you can find me via BespinBolton.com online. Where can I find you, Matt?
Making a really quick recovery thanks to penicillin after a stab wound. You can find me at whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. And you can just search What I Watch Tonight across all the social media networks and you'll find me there. If you know a Last of Us fan out there who has ears and has good taste, let them know that there's a weekly show that's covering the HBO Sky Atlantic Last of Us series, and that's also going to be diving into other aspects and facets of the franchise going forward as well. Let them know that this is out there. We'd love to hear from them. We'd love for them to listen as well. But thank you everyone for your support so far. We've got one more to go. But until then, from me, see ya. And from Bespin,
catch you on the flippity flop.